Today is Sunday morning, April the 24th, the last Sunday in April. That's hard to believe. But let me give you something that's even more difficult to believe. It's only 8 months now till Christmas Eve. Can you believe that? Amen. I love Christmas. Amen. I like to celebrate Christmas all year long. Sunday morning, April the 24th. Our lesson today is entitled, Faithfulness Illustrated. Faithfulness Illustrated. And our theme verse is found in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 3. And here is what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you and I, as born-again believers, are we being an illustration of faithfulness to anyone that we know today? Are we being an illustration, an open illustration, an open picture of faithfulness to God? Are we being that to anyone today? As we begin this ninth lesson, I want us to look at this theme verse found here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. Paul challenged his dear son in the faith. And he challenged him here and he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That word endure, I looked it up, and I'm always using my little Webster's dictionary because I want to make sure I understand so that I can be able to teach you, to help you understand. And that word endure, we can all figure that out. We can figure, you know, what it means, but I wanted to make sure I understood. And Webster's dictionary said this. It said that word endure means to continue in the same state. Now, that's not the state of confusion, okay? But to continue in the same state, the same frame of mind, to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. Now, this is from a Webster's dictionary. To undergo, especially without giving in, to abide, to accept, to bear, to stand, to stick out. Man, when we look at somebody and we say, "Stick it out now, you stay faithful." Webster's dictionary is telling us endure means that no matter how hard it gets, no matter what the opposition, we determine to stick it out. And you know what? That's like what we're supposed to do in our commitments to God, our commitment to marriage, okay? Man, I'm glad my wife has chosen to stick it out, amen? Amen? She's too old now to train up another one, so you know, she's got to stick it out with the one she's got. But you know what? We need to just make up our mind that no matter what happens in this life, we're going to stay faithful to God. It is so easy sometimes to get discouraged in the work of the Lord. It's easy. The devil makes it easy for us to look at other people and say, "Wow, they don't have any problems. They don't even go to church." I look at my neighbor's yards a lot of times, and they got nice, pristine yards, and bushes are trimmed and all that stuff. But they're usually doing it on Sunday. I mean, they got nothing else to do but mow a yard. Listen, if I was going to be a heathen and not go to church, I sure wouldn't work on Sunday, okay? I'd stay at home and just relax. But listen, you don't need to let the devil discourage you or distract you from keeping the main thing the main thing. And that is living for God so that others might see Christ in you and you telling them about the Lord Jesus. Paul here is seen in this chapter. He's continuing, he's encouraging, he's challenging Timothy to continue in the same state of faithfulness, to remain firm under his suffering that he may go through, or any misfortune, and to do this without yielding, without giving in. He is to abide. He is to accept those things in life and say, "Dear Lord, through your power, through your strength, I'm going to stand faithful." And he was challenging this young preacher to stay faithful. How? To endure as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that word hardness too. Notice that word hardness. That word hardness means the quality or state of being hard or difficult. You know what? Through the difficulties, we're to endure those things, are we not? Listen, through every situation, we've talked to Danny sometimes about graduating. He graduates next year. And he's been worried about, you know, going back to China. He wants to go back and see his parents, and yet he's not sure what's going to happen. If he goes, can he get back and be able to graduate and all that stuff? And I told him, I said, "Buddy, if you've got to stay, then stay. Stick it out. You've come too far to not graduate now." Amen? And child of God, you and I have been serving the Lord too long now to give up, to quit during the hardness, which Jesus said was going to happen before he came back again. We're seeing those things come to pass. We are living in the day, I believe, really, seriously, we could be living in the very days before the coming of the Son of God. And we are living it, and we've got to endure to the end. We need to do that. Why? Because we love him enough as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul used these words because as it was then, so it is now. There is a battle going on. And that battle is for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Listen, we have a battle to face every day. And the one that I fight the most, I'll just be honest with you, the one that I fight the most is the one that I shave every morning. This old flesh gets in the way, does it not? We get in the way. And if we're not careful, we will let the desires of the old flesh and what we think is better to do. We get lazy. We get complacent. Okay? We get to the point that, "Man, I'm tired. I'm tired. I can't go to church. I'm tired." And every time I hear somebody say that, I think about what we saw demonstrated in the Living Cross, how our Savior endured for you and for me. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, the writer there, he's writing and he's challenging folks, he's exhorting folks to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then verse 3 says this, he says, "For consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied in your minds and faint." Listen, we don't need to get weary in our minds about things. We don't need to get weary in this battle. Yes, do you get tired? Man, every day. Friday when we left, we were tired. I'm sure the staff folks from school were tired. They'd been here all day, and then they had the programs at night. But you know what? You think about reaching these families for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to be weary in well-doing. We want to be faithful to reach as many people as we can while we still can with the message of the gospel. And Paul is enduring here, and he's challenging Timothy to endure. And he reminds him, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's what he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And this is why he was challenging Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to look at this morning. We ask ourselves sometimes, why do we do what we do for the Lord? Why do we do what we do? We do it because There's a world to reach today with the gospel. And it begins right where we are. You remember what Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8? He said, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." Where? Beginning in Jerusalem, right where they were. And then into Samaria. And then into Judea. And then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen, it's going to be difficult for us to reach the uttermost part of the earth if we're not doing it right where we are. And that's why we need to stay faithful today, folks. Stay faithful to God. Now, let's look at it. He gives several illustrations here about faithfulness. And I want you to see this today. Number one, he gives the illustration of the soldier. Of a soldier. I don't know if you realize this or not, but a soldier endures a lot of things. And I want you to look at this. First of all, he talks about endurance. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." This first illustration that he gives of faithfulness is given here as a picture of a good soldier. Now, that reminds me of something. It reminds me that there must be two different types of soldiers. Good ones and bad ones. Okay? Somebody asked me one night, they said, "Well, if I'm born again as a child of God, am I always saved?" And I said, "Yes, you're always saved because you cannot reverse a birth." And it's just like our children. When our children were born, okay, I helped deliver both of my children. And I was there. Heather never whimpered, cried, nothing. She just came out looking around like, "Wow, this is what the outside world's like." Okay? Stephen was born crying, and he's still crying. He's 30-some years old. He still cries. But I mean, all the time. And I thought, you know what? If he had been first, we may not have had a second child, okay? God knew what he was doing there. I've told him, I said, "Buddy, if you were first, we may not have had a sister." He said, "Well, that wouldn't have been so bad." But listen, no matter what happens, those children are mine. They're ours because the birth made them ours. Whether they're good children or whether they're bad children, they're mine because the birth made them mine. You can't reverse a birth, okay? You can't reverse a birth. You can't send that child back where it came from. You can't unsave a born-again child of God. You can't be unsaved once you're saved because God said he gives unto us what kind of life? Eternal, everlasting life. And no man can pluck him out of my hand. We belong to him forever. But you know what? Just as with children, we have good children, we have some bad children. You know what? There are good soldiers and there are bad soldiers. And Paul illustrates here to Timothy. He said, "I want you to be a good soldier. Not only one that follows the commands of his commander and does what he's been instructed to do, but a good soldier does it faithfully. And in the right attitude. And in the right frame of mind." In other words, listen, when we go out and we tell folks about Christ, whether it's raining or it's cold or it's hot or whatever the situation may be, if you got to run from a little dog for a little while or set your second man to him and say, "Hey, that's yours, okay? Take that." Listen. We are to endure hardness as a good soldier, one that loves the Lord and realizes about the battle that we're in. We're in a battle today, folks. And the devil is trying to do all that he can do to discourage the good soldiers so that we become disobedient soldiers, so that we become lazy soldiers, so that we become, you know, bad soldiers. And I don't want to stand before God one day and him look at me and say, "Why did you quit? Man, you were so close. Why did you quit?" I don't want to quit. I want to endure hardness and to abide faithfully in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of His Word. Listen, that's where I get my strength from, is in the power of the Word of God. It will give you the strength. I want to be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be able to endure hardness and to abide faithfully. Faithfully. Listen, you see that wedding ring on my hand? That is not what keeps me faithful to my wife. Let me tell you what keeps me faithful to my wife. It's that love that I have for her. I love her. And you know what? I wear the wedding band to let everybody else around me know, man, I belong to somebody. And you know, when we serve the Lord, we ought to serve the Lord out of an attitude of gratefulness, an attitude of gratitude, so to speak, so that we let the world know, listen, they're out here telling me about Jesus because they love me. I got a text from somebody late last night, and I don't even know who it came from. But I want to read you what it said. This text, and it came in, good night. It was late. And it said, "Hey, Ray, first of all, I want to thank the good Lord for the food we got at our church and thanking you that I've been putting my things away. I froze all my bananas for banana bread and smoothies. I froze some grapes. I froze my spinach. I froze my zucchini. I just enjoyed getting it, and it was such a great help. Thanks." Now, I'm not even sure who sent it to me. But you know what? I thought, praise God. You know what? We were able to help somebody and encourage them and strengthen them. Was it a long day? Yeah, it was a long day. But you know what? It was worth it all. Hey, listen. This world is the only place I'll ever burn. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. Amen? I'm thankful for that today. All because of Jesus. Amen? And this is just temporary. Amen? This is just temporary. Listen, it's worth it all to stay faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he not only challenges him to be faithful in endurance, but he challenges him to be faithful in singleness of purpose. What do you do what you do for the Lord for? He said, "No man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." A good soldier prepares himself for the day of battle. A good soldier will prepare himself, and he'll stay away from those things that will distract him from doing what he's supposed to do for the purpose of which he's been called. And you know what? God so chose to love the whole world. Now, not everybody in the world chooses to love the Lord. But it didn't change God's love for you. It didn't change God's love for them. And you know what? No one. People may go to hell because they refuse to accept Christ, but no one will ever die and go to hell because they were unloved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17 goes on to say, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." Listen, sin had already condemned us. So God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. It's through Him that we come to know Christ. And the Bible reminds us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Sometimes you and I, many times, you and I have to choose, okay, who we're going to hang with, who we're going to associate with. There are folks that, man, they just will drag you down. They'll just drag you down. And you don't want that to happen. You want to help them up, but you don't want them to drag you down. And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, he said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, folks think that's just in marriage, okay? And it is in marriage. That's a truth statement. You don't, a saved person will never walk for the Lord if they're married to a lost person. It's not going to happen. This old flesh will just not make it happen. And you know what? This verse goes far beyond that, though. It's in business. It's in family relationships. There are situations sometimes you just have to say, Lord, I've done all that I can do. Now you're going to have to do the rest of the work. Did we not see that in the play with Thomas? And God did a great work in Thomas' life. Why? Because it was given to God. Listen, folks, we've got to make sure that we're wholly dedicated unto the Lord in what we do. If we're doing it for self or for praise of men or for any other reason, it's not going to last. You'll fail, you'll fall, and you'll flounder around in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get in you and do what you do with singleness of heart, singleness of purpose. And then he gives a second illustration of an athlete. Of an athlete. Look what he said in verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now an athlete has to work hard and to strive and to devote serious time and effort and energy into mastering the sport that he's participating in. Does he not? I mean, they take time to do this stuff. I like swordsmanship. I would love to be a swordsman. I'm not good at it, but you know what? I'd like to be able to find somebody who could teach me to do it better. No. No. She doesn't use a sword. But you know what? I have watched some of those guys that do swordsmanship on the Olympic things. And they do those things and they practice over and over. Right-handed, left-handed, you know, every situation. They watch that stuff. Those swimmers get in there and swim for hours and hours at a time. Man, those guys get out and they run and they do what they do because they want to win the race. They want to win the competition. Folks, you and I need to strive today because there is a crown to win. And listen, we're already on the winning side. There's no reason for us to stop and to quit and to flounder around and say, Lord, I just can't make it. He has given us all that we need to be able to make it today. We've got to stay faithful. This athlete has to compete lawfully and obey all the rules, okay, in order to win. If he doesn't, guess what happens? He gets disqualified, does he not? They get disqualified. I wish they had disqualified a bunch more of those folks in the Olympics this year. Man alive, I can't believe to get these folks that had these different surgeries and things and turn from one thing to another thing because they couldn't win in the regular one and they won in another. That's just not right. Not right. Not right. But listen, that athlete has to determine he's going to obey the rules. He's going to eat what he's supposed to eat. He's going to practice the time he's got to practice. And he's going to give his all to strive for the mastery, for winning that competition. And folks, one day, you say, well, preacher, what crown could I be able to ever win with the Lord? You know what? I believe that one of the greatest things that we could ever have is when we stand before the Lord and he looks at us and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. To hear my Lord say, you are faithful. You are faithful to the end. Man, what a blessing. I love this verse. We used to always say it at the Wilds every morning before we'd take our kids. We had our Christian school, we'd take them up to the Wilds every year. We had state competitions and competitions with other Christian schools. And we would quote this verse every morning before we ate breakfast. And it was this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And the verse says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all for the glory of God. We would quote this verse every time before we go into any kind of competition, any kind of thing. Whatever we do, let's determine we're going to do it for the glory of God, for His glory. And then he uses a third illustration, and that illustration is of the farmer. He's got a soldier, he's got an athlete, and now he's got a farmer. Now let me ask you this. Many of you have gardens, and some of you have farms, and you raise crops. Can you expect a crop to come up unless you first go out and plow up the field and plant some seeds? Or are you going to walk out there at that field and say, man, this looks like a great cornfield. I can't wait till it's time to harvest. And you never go and plow up the rocks, and you never furrow the soil, and you never plant a single seed. Are you going to be able to really expect anything to come up? No. Look what he said here, verse number 6. He said, the husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. And I want you to notice here, the first part of this verse, he said, the husbandman that laboreth. Folks, the fact is, if there is no laboring, there is no reaping. Folks, the only time that you're going to find success come before work is in the dictionary. Hey, listen, that's the only place you're going to find it. It takes work to remain faithful. It takes determination to stay faithful. Listen, when we first got married, my wife and I first got married, I didn't eat a lot of good foods. I was a junk food junkie. And my favorite meal was fish sticks and French fries. And I put Worcestershire sauce and A1 sauce on my fish sticks and cut them all up. And man, I just had myself a meal. When I got married, my wife said, we're going to eat right. And I endured all that. And you can see how God has blessed me. Amen. You can see how good God has blessed me. But you know what? She did that. And I learned to like it. I like those mashed potatoes and all that stuff now. I like those baked potatoes, and I like that meat cooked right, and those green beans and corn and baked beans and buttered bread. She made some bread the other morning. Man, it was so good. And you can smell it cooking in the morning in the baking thing. She's got a little thing she makes bread with. You can smell it in there. Oh, it smells so good. Man alive. And you know what? If you will learn from the farmer that the work that is involved in planting a field, in planting a crop, it yields forth much fruit. And when you start reaping that harvest, you sit back and you think, wow, it was worth it all. Amen? It was worth it all. We drove in our garage the other night, and I've got wood stacked up all along the back of the garage. And I told my wife, I said, doesn't that look good? Man, this year you won't have to go far to bring in wood for me. And, you know, we got it all in the garage. I mean, thank the Lord. The Lord's so good. She just looked at me and said, yeah, right. Listen, a good soldier of Jesus Christ does what he does for the Lord so that, as this verse says, so that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You do what you do for God because God chose you. He loved you. John wrote, we love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. Listen, we do all we do because he loved us enough to choose us, to love us, to give us eternal life. And man, that's a blessing. The runner or the athlete prepares himself and he strives so that one day he might receive that crown, that reward, that trophy, that gold medal. He'll hang around his neck, even as the farmer toils and he faithfully sows so that one day he might reap a great harvest. Man, we need to make up our hearts and our minds that we're going to do the same thing. Let me read you something out of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. You'll get a blessing out of this. Jesus was there on the mountainside and he was preaching to the people. And he said this, he said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He said, "I'm still going to bless you." And he said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Why? "Because great is your reward in heaven." You know what? Folks say, "Well, I don't get paid for this, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to come to that church and work like a dog and clean and do this and do that. Why, they don't even pay me." It's not payday yet. Friday is still coming, amen? Payday is coming. And oh, what a day when we stand before the Lord. Let me remind you of another verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible said, "There faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." God said he'd bless you. You know what? We may not see. My wife cross-stitched for a long time. Her fingers won't allow her to do that a lot, nor will her eyes. But she cross-stitched me a little thing, and I got it in a frame. And it said this. It said, "Working for the Lord may not pay much, but the benefits are out of this world." And you know what? She's right. And you know what? I think about that one day when we stand before God and we see all those folks that we've got to lead to Christ. Those folks that took a gospel tract out here and we gave them some food. And they took that gospel tract back home and they read it and said, "Man, I need to know Jesus as my Savior." That little Jewish lady that came for the living cross. And she liked what she saw and she understood a part of it, but she just didn't understand it all. And God led us there. He led us to the right one Thursday night. And she trusted Christ as her own personal Savior. One day, can you imagine standing in heaven and all these folks are coming up because you and I did what we were supposed to do. We were faithful in telling others about Christ and folks got saved. But then the fourth example is this, and I got to close, was the example of Paul himself. And he says to Timothy in verses 8 through 10, he said, "Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." In other words, the gospel that he preached. He said it wasn't some of these other folks' message. It was the gospel that I preached to you, that you got saved. He said, "Now wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." What elect is he talking about? It's the ones that God chose to be saved. Now, before you think I'm some Calvinist, they remind you who God chose to save. The world. He chose to save everybody. He chose to make his gift of eternal life available to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And I'm so glad that included me. I'm so glad that included you. And there's a lot more out there that it includes that have not yet heard the message. but they need to hear it. The Apostle Paul never forgot what God had done for him. He never forgot where God found him. And you and I must never forget what the Lord Jesus has done for us as well. Let's look what he said. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble even as an evildoer, even under bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Folks, if you plant the seed, somewhere along the line, the seed is going to come up. Amen? It's going to come up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The writer of the book of Hebrews again told us, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, he told us, he said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, but is set at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Keep your eyes on Jesus, folks. Paul said, I've kept my eyes on Jesus. I've been faithful. He said, I've been faithful to the elect. In other words, I've been faithful to get the gospel to all that God has chosen to be saved. And who is that? It was anybody that he met. Anybody and everybody. He was telling them about Jesus. And then he gives a famous statement. He said, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Folks, listen to me today. There's a battle, but we've come too far in this battle to just quit. We need to endure. We see faithfulness illustrated in all these examples that he has given us. And you know what? I want one day, when somebody finds out that I've died and I'm in heaven, I want them to be able to say, you know what? He was faithful. He was faithful. I had some bus kids that texted me. Or they didn't text me. It was through Facebook. And I don't look at Facebook very often, but I got on there and they had sent me a note. And they wanted to find out where I was because I wasn't in the Winston-Salem area anymore. And was I still going to church? And I said, yes, I'm still going to church. I'm preaching and I'm serving the Lord up in Westminster, Maryland. And you know what? Those kids now have grown up. And they've got their families in church. You know what? I can't wait. I may not ever see them here in this life, but I'll see them one day in heaven. And great will be that reward because we endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's be good soldiers today. Amen. Father, I know I didn't finish the lesson like I wanted to finish it today, but Lord, I'm thankful, God, for the examples that we've seen in this story about being faithful from the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that today, through these illustrations of faithfulness, God, you will help each of us to determine in our hearts and in our minds that we're going to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to quit. We're not going to just flounder around and not serve you with gratefulness in our heart. But God, we're going to do it as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that if there be anyone that's listening to the sound of my voice today that's not yet saved, I pray, God, that you'll speak to their heart and draw them unto you that they might be saved even today before it's eternally too late. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach the Word of God, and God will thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. We love you. Thank you for being in Sunday school.